Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Buck's First Thoughts, the news you need to get through your day in 45 minutes. Make sure you subscribe on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What possible reason could there be? If the goal is unity, if the goal is getting past a difficult period for this country, which is what we're told the Democrats want, what possible reason could there be for extending a post-presidency impeachment? Now, we're going to answer this question, but let's start with the question because it's very important to know what we are really dealing with here. Because they're going to tell you this is all about country first. They're going to tell you this is about protecting our republic. But what's really going on? Donald Trump, in a matter of hours now, will no longer be president of the United States. The movers have been showing up. The boxes are being filled. He's on the way out. And yet, we not only have Democrats, but even some Republicans now who are saying they are supportive of this idea. Just start with the constitutionality of this. How can you have somebody who's no longer president presenting a defense of why they should be able to maintain their position as president, which is what impeachment and removal is all about? It's not a criminal process. So how can they do that? And why would we think, I mean, the Constitution doesn't declare this, but doesn't decide this one way or the other. But why would we believe that this is in any way helpful? I think we all understand that it is most certainly not, but it's helpful to Democrats. It's helpful to some Republicans, too. Why do they want to get rid of Trump after he's already gone? Because they want to prevent him from coming back. That's one part of it. There are multiple layers here, but they want to make sure that Donald Trump can't run for office again because they are unwilling to accept a future of Trump in office for 4 more years. Now, this should be an entirely political question. Meaning it should be decided by the voters. Right now, it's anybody's guess as to whether Trump would even try to run in 2024. It's anyone's guess as to whether the president would have a shot in the primary. Who knows? I don't know. That's years away. Some people might think he's a shoo-in. Some people might say he's got no shot. But this should be decided as a question put to the voters. Because ultimately, that's really what this is about. They pretend that Trump broke the law. They pretend that there's some violation of statute here leading to an insurrection, but that would never stand up in court, and we all know it. If you can be held accountable for telling people to do something peaceful and then they don't do what you say, then words have no meaning. Then words are just things that we pretend have meaning until we want them to mean something else. And that can't be the future. That can't be the way we go as a country. So why are they pushing this? Well, they have some Republicans who are on board. They have Republicans who are angry, including Mitch McConnell and others, who are angry about what has happened here because they view this entire fiasco of the post-2020 election Trump presidency as a catastrophe. And look, it was not handled well. And anybody who's saying otherwise here right now is pandering. They're not telling you the truth. This whole post-election fight about the votes and about, you know, the whole hashtag stop the steal and all this stuff. There were people on our own side who were not telling the truth. They were lying to us. We need to understand that. And I think that, unfortunately, there was so much benefit for some people to be on the Trump train that they would say whatever they had to say to keep it going. Got to get those donor dollars flowing. Got to make sure that, you know, you could throw the big Trump parties, you know, and raise lots of money and all this stuff. Some people wanted to continue that at the expense of whatever it is that they had to say. But that's a far cry from this is a clear and present danger to the United States and that the president has to be barred from office forever. And let's also be very clear, even if they succeeded in this, I think it's quite likely you're going to have a member of the Trump family running in 4 years, and that person could be very formidable. And Donald Trump would be a senior advisor. You know, they might, even if they were to go forward with this impeachment trial post-presidency, think about this. They've already impeached the guy. They rammed that through. They rushed that through. Now they're waiting until he's no longer in office to determine if he can never hold office again. So there's no real way to get rid of the president entirely from the political scene, even if they were to go through with this. But then think of the consequences for the GOP. What was the, if you had to pick one thing that Trump was willing to do that was a game changer for so many voters, if there was one part of Trumpism that you'd say, I want us to keep that, I think it would be that this guy won't back down. Now, maybe there were some times when he would have been better served to back down a little bit on an issue and come back and fight another day. I mean, you know, it wasn't perfect, but overall, his attitude was he was going to fight back. And in politics in this country, we felt like the left had been just getting away with running around, slamming their opponents constantly. The media engaged in all kinds of partisan nonsense. And we didn't really have a champion. There wasn't somebody on the right who would go toe to toe with them. You know, Ted Cruz would try sometimes. He's a very smart guy. There are other people on the right who would do their best to make the case. I'm not saying that this was only Trump, but they tried to get Trump to bend the knee and he wouldn't. They tried to get Trump to back off issues like trade with China, like the border, where he was right. And he didn't. And he stared the consensus in the face and was willing to say things that you weren't allowed to say. And there was a tremendous freedom in that. There was a release of all this pent up rage at authoritarianism that had been growing in this country, because there are so many things you're not allowed to say. You can't make jokes anymore. You can't say anything anymore. Right. The left gets to determine all the boundaries of speech. They'll come after your job. They'll deplatform you. Soon they'll be coming after your ability to use the bank. They'll be coming after your ability to rent a home. I mean, they're just, they go all out. They want absolute control of society and of your life. And Trump seemed to be one individual who not only was willing to stand up and say that's wrong, but that they couldn't break. They threw everything they had. Russia collusion, said that he was had sexually assaulted women in the past. Oh, dozens of women. You'll never really hear about any one particular case with Trump because it was all about the numbers. Right. And they tried that. They tried to Kavanaugh him. And they said that the 25th Amendment, they threw all this stuff at him. And he just kept on coming. He's like, no, I'm not going to bend the knee. I'm not going to give up. I'm not done. And that drove them crazy. That drove them insane. What would it mean if the GOP, not only the Democrats, because of course they'll do anything, but if the GOP at this stage said, you know what, you're right, we're going to help you put an end to Trumpism forever. We're going to help the Democrats. We're going to reward them for 4 years of lies, of just the most vicious conspiracy theorizing about Russia collusion was a conspiracy theory. You know, we've got some conspiracy theories on the right that are getting way too much oxygen as well. But Russia collusion was a conspiracy theory that was central to the Democrat Party. It was not fringe. It was believed by a vast majority of Democrats, by the entirety of the mainstream media. They were all in on Russia collusion. It was a lie because they couldn't accept a Trump presidency as it was. They couldn't judge it by the merits. So they decided to concoct a fanciful story that allowed them to, in their minds, nullify every legitimacy, every aspect of Trump's legitimacy in office. And so now here we are. They want to achieve in the last days what they couldn't achieve in 4 years. Why would we reward them for that? I do not believe the president of the United States incited a riot. It would be counterproductive for his own political purposes. And I do think that he knows that that's just unacceptable, that it's immoral. I think that the rhetoric around the election and around the disparity in the votes got beyond where the facts were and that people weren't being honest. I think that's true as well. But the Democrats lied about the 2016 election for 4 years, including all of the candidates, including Biden and Harris themselves, running around with the Russia talking points. So I'm sorry, we're not going to have this double standard where we have to punish our own, but they get all the benefits of using the lies, of weaponizing these fairy tales. We don't have to go along with that at a minimum. Maybe they can force it down our throats. Maybe they can not ask us or demand that we bend the knee, but actually shove our shoulders down and plant our knee in the ground. Maybe they can do that, but we don't have to say, sure, we'll do it for you. Step aside, I'll make it easy for you. And that's what the GOP would be doing by impeaching and removing after office, or at least banning from office, I should say. Removing from future office is really what they would be doing, Donald Trump. And when you see what they're doing with the inauguration and the way they're preparing for this swearing in of Biden and Harris, the talk of unity that we've heard is in bad faith. And that's really discouraging.
You're in the Freedom Hut. Thanks for listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Get the latest from Buck at BuckSexton.com.
Donald Trump remains a threat to our democracy and will be held accountable for what he's done, whether or not he's president during the trial. At the same time, the Senate's work on behalf of the American people will not be deterred. The nation's facing unprecedented challenges, the greatest economic crisis in 75 years since the Great Depression, the greatest public health crisis in a century since the Spanish pandemic flu, the climate crisis, income inequality, racial injustice. The Senate Democratic majority, along with President-elect Biden and our House colleagues, is committed to delivering the bold change our country demands and the help that our people need.
Never let a crisis go to waste. You know that's what the Democrats believe. They deepened this crisis. They made everything worse with the pandemic. That's what the actual facts and data tell us. Oh, yes, those lockdowns, those wonderful lockdowns that saved so many lives. Really? Because look at what happens when you don't lock down in Florida versus when you do in California. A lot of lives saved, they want to tell us? Sorry, I don't believe it. But they've made these crises worse, and you even heard in Chuck Schumer's own words there, they are expanding the crisis, or crises. Yes, we have a financial crisis, we have an economic one, we have a pandemic, the worst in 100 years, but we have a climate crisis, and an inequality crisis, and a racial injustice crisis. Oh, it's everything is going to be a crisis. And all of a sudden, you'll hear Democrats that have control in the House and the Senate and the presidency saying, now, we have to go, move. No time to talk, no time to discuss. And we will see what the end results of this are. You're getting a hint of it, I think, with the already caravans of people making their way to our southern border. Thousands upon thousands of them. And on what basis are Democrats going to say that they can't stay? They always tell us that all immigration, including illegal immigration, just makes America better, wealthier, safer, everything is better, right? Well, then why wouldn't we want more? Because there are even some Democrats who recognize that completely unrestricted immigration is the end of a nation. You no longer have a country at some point when you have people that can come and go as they please and have no allegiance to the actual nation because they don't have to abide by its laws. There are no laws that really bind them about coming and going and where they're supposed to have national loyalty. But first, on Schumer saying they're going to hold Trump accountable for this, the accountability was the election. The accountability was that Donald Trump is not getting four more years in office, which I think is a shame for the country. And I wish we could have done something better. I mean, I do think that this is at some level, there's a failure of conservative media here. I think that we need to be honest about that. Way too much time spent, you know, chasing into these rabbit holes on the Hunter Biden stuff. And I don't think that was going to make a difference. We seeded the narrative on COVID lockdowns and we didn't push the GOP to do enough while Trump was in office to help people with, you know, the checks should have gotten done. We should have made it very clear that Nancy Pelosi stood in the way. Anyway, I've got frustrations just like you do, but I also feel an obligation to speak to you as clearly and honestly as I can about what's coming. I mean, I said it's going to be a tough week at the beginning of the week where there was the vote, I mean, the Electoral College vote counting in the Congress, and of course the riot and everything else, and the losses in Georgia, those two Georgia Senate seats that we lost. That was a tough week. This is not going to be a fun week either. This is going to be a tough week. And I think that we all have to get ready for that. I'm very concerned at the kind of things that Democrats are now saying, the kind of rhetoric Democrats are now using to describe Republicans, because they're not, they're intentionally not limiting it to individuals who really transgressed, broke the law, crossed the line. They're saying this is true about everybody, that you're all complicit. If you voted for Trump, you're complicit in this. Have you ever heard us say, you know, with Antifa and with BLM and with the assassination of cops and the attempted murder of members of Congress by a Bernie Sanders supporter? Have we ever said, you know, they're all responsible for it, everyone who's ever voted Democrat? Because no, that's crazy. That's unfair. They're moving toward that right now. And they're not just doing it in rhetorical terms. They're going to use this as the basis. They're going to use this as the excuse for taking action. They're going to take action against people who fall under this very, very broad, very sweeping umbrella of, oh, you are part of the problem here. You are somehow ideologically tied to the Capitol Hill rioters. And I knew they would do this. I knew the left would exploit it, which is one of the reasons why I was, one of many reasons why I was so angry when I saw what was happening, because the people that are going around now saying, oh, but it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't quite what they said it was. The Democrats are exaggerating it. It was bad, but it wasn't. The Democrats don't care. They're going to use this as much as they can. The Democrats convinced themselves that Carter Page was somehow a special Russian asset working with Putin to steal the 2016 election. And anyone who's spoken to Carter Page for 3 minutes knows this is the most absurd thing that has ever been uttered. They all convinced themselves of this, though. You think we're going to be able to reason with them now on, yes, the Capitol Hill riot was bad, but it's not representative of Republicans or Trump supporters, and it also was not a coup? Do you think we'll be able to convince them of that? No. No, we will not. So we can try. We can fight back with the truth as much as we can. But they are preparing to be very aggressive over these things. They are deplatforming. They are doxing. They are finding people. They want to make a lot of examples. And they want very lengthy prison sentences, even for people that didn't engage in actual violence. Right. There's, if you're part of a mob and you run into a building and you don't destroy any property and you don't attack anyone, you shouldn't be there and you're trespassing and you're part of an illegal event. But they're going to try to get people sent away for 10 or 15 years in federal prison for that. That's what the Democrats are angling for. And that's not justice. You hit a cop, you destroy property, you know, you got to pay a heavy price. But you walk into a building and you're trespassing, you need to be criminally prosecuted. But I don't think when you see this is just a prediction. When you see the sentences they're going to want for everybody involved in that, it's going to blow your mind because they're going to send it. They're going to send a signal to everybody.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable, it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. You stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a Muslim, I'm the last person to want to exaggerate or fearmonger about the threat from terrorism. But I have to say, the threat from the kind of far-right domestic extremists who overran the Capitol, killing a police officer, injuring dozens of others while perhaps trying to execute our elected leaders, that threat is something that genuinely scares me, something that should worry us all. The threat to our democracy and our quote-unquote way of life is much more serious and real now than it was even after September the 11th, 2001. And don't get me wrong, 9/11 was a horrific mass casualty attack of a kind unique in modern history. 3,000 people killed in a single morning. But in my view, Al-Qaeda after 9/11 was not as much of a threat to us, did not have the kind of advantages or strengths even, that this domestic movement of oath keepers and proud boys and militiamen and neo-Nazis and QAnon types, what I would call MAGA terrorists, that they have right now. They're much more dangerous and they're harder to defeat.
More dangerous than Al-Qaeda. That's what they're saying. That's right. People on the right, more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. You had, I still can't get an answer. The one police officer was killed by being hit with a fire extinguisher. Okay, that's murder, and there should be criminal consequences for anybody involved. The other officers, I still haven't found anywhere. They're saying that there are other officers who were killed. How? What happened? I can't find it anywhere. I keep asking, keep looking. But 3,000 people either incinerated or buried alive in one day, and comparing that to a riot where a cop was killed by violence and other cops died by reasons I'm still trying to figure out what happened. To compare these things and to come out and say that the right is worse. Now, this guy, Mehdi Hassan, you could say, OK, this is just one another guy wants to be on TV and say outlandish stuff, and another they believe this. The Democrats believe this. This is mainstream thinking for them right now. This is not a one-off situation. Andrew McCabe, who, man, this is a vicious, vindictive, bitter government official. You should be terrified by people like that. You know, in a different era, Andy McCabe would have been sending people off to the gulag for the most minor offenses because that was his job. And he would send you there even longer if you protested that you were innocent, because it didn't matter that you were innocent. He's there to do his job, which is to send you one after another, the crushing machinery of the gulag. McCabe is somebody who has that mentality. In a different era, he would be the kind of guy who would just send people. He doesn't care. I've be very curious to see how many people he, in his FBI career, put away for a long time for offenses that prominent Democrats, they get no jail time for. Curious to see that for sure. But Andrew McCabe here talking about Trump supporters. And he says Trump supporters and how they're similar to the radicals who join ISIS. Play 8.
When we looked at those Americans who traveled to Syria for the purpose of joining the Islamic State, when you put all those faces and names down in one place, you had doctors, lawyers, you had people who were Muslim their entire life, and some people who had just converted only months earlier. You had rich people, you had poor people, men, women of every ethnic variety. So I think that's actually common to extremist groups. Some people are very vulnerable to and drawn into that that core lie of any extremist movement, and that is exactly what we're seeing now with this particular group of Trump supporters.
Yep. Trump supporters, just like ISIS, just like those who have joined ISIS in the past. Yeah, because ISIS were, you know, when they were doing direct action or when they were engaged in their militant activities, they were just showing up places and taking selfies, some of them. No, that's not what happened. But this is the narrative. This is the narrative. Trump supporters are now ISIS. They say that they want unity. They want to bring us all together. Meanwhile, they're also likening us to people who enslave and mutilate women on a massive scale, who cut off people's heads, who engage in torture, the most horrible things imaginable. But we're like them, or we're worse than Al Qaeda. You heard that guy. We're worse than Al Qaeda. Does he have any familiarity with the kind of things Al Qaeda was willing to do? Does he remember the Al Qaeda attacks? Well, it's not just bombs. They did all kinds of horrific stuff, mutilating people on video. We're worse than that. I'm sorry. We're Trump supporters, so we're worse than that. This is what's being said on TV. I know that some people want to dismiss this as just the ravings of attention starved and power mad left wing talking heads. But this is now the discourse. This is where we are. And it was already going to be nasty when there was the transition of power. But we have to be prepared for the fact that it's about to be a whole lot worse. They're going to leverage this to silence. They're going to leverage this to settle scores. And this is also why they're going with the most extreme measures possible. I've never seen anything like this. No one has. They're now vetting National Guardsmen for pro-Trump far-right sympathies or something. They're treating the National Guard like there are QAnon infiltrators, and they're saying openly, I mean, this is being reported on, that they think that poses a threat to the lives of the new administration. I mean, this is horrible, horrible stuff. And, you know, it's meant to ratchet up the tension, ratchet up the rage that the left feels against the right, because I'm telling you, we're being told right now, oh, the Biden administration is going to be relatively, you know, center left, and Joe Biden's been in the game a long time. Biden's not the one really calling the shots. We just went through a year in 2020 of unprecedented abuse of government authority in my lifetime. Unprecedented. Your business is shut down. You can't see people. You can't go places. You have to constrict your breathing. You're not allowed to breathe normally, inside, outside, not allowed, because we say so. That's the year we just went through. You think the Democrats all of a sudden have discovered their inner libertarian? You think that they want to allow people greater freedom and less of these horrific authoritarian moves? No, of course not. They have been handed the keys to a full-on authoritarian society if they push hard enough. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do this. We got to spend the money on this thing, and we're going to lock you down there, and you can't operate this business. You know, only clean energy, because there's a climate crisis, don't you know? They believe this stuff. They believe it. What we really need to establish in this country is some kind of coalition of the reasonable and the decent. And, you know, anyone from any side of the aisle wants to come together and say, look, America's a great country. We're still incredibly wealthy, and we have lots of freedom if we are willing to defend it, if we're willing to insist that that's what the Constitution grants us. You know, there's a lot to be positive about in this country, and it doesn't all have to come down to, you know, whether you put pronouns in your bio for no reason. We don't have to have this hyper-tribalism. You know, ultimately, we should want the same thing. You know, we want our kids to be safe and to go to good schools. And, you know, we want low crime. We want high prosperity. We want, you know, freedom to pursue one's destiny. There are some areas where we have just a human and American commonality. But there's no focus on that right now whatsoever. No, they're turning the screws even tighter on the machinery of separation. And it's very troubling because they're maligning people. And they're also, by maligning everyone, they elevate the true radicals and true extremists. You know, I don't know where all of a sudden, and I had always ignored this, people had reached out to me even and said in past years, what do you think of Q? You know, people that I knew a little bit in private life, they said, what do you think of Q? And my response was honestly always, I don't really know what you're talking about. What is that? And occasionally somebody would say something about, you know, a pedophile ring in the government or something. And I'd say, well, look, there's the Epstein pedophile ring that does have ties to the very top of the government. But this other thing that you're talking about with this Q stuff, this just sounds crazy to me. This just sounds like, you know, space aliens. This is like the stuff that appears in the tabloids in the markets, supermarkets. When I was a kid growing up, they don't really do it anymore. But, you know, space aliens land in Arizona, give birth to, you know, the devil. I mean, there's crazy stuff. We're being told now that there are some people who actually believe this, which is troubling. But I would also remind anybody on the left that's going to sneer at conspiracies in general, Russia collusion was a conspiracy and it was a lie. And it was just outright falsehoods. And it dominated news and political discourse in this country. Dominated. I mean, this was all we talked about for 3 years, basically, in the news cycle, at least at CNN and MSNBC, was Russia collusion. And now they're acting like, oh, there's nothing there. No big deal. And if you want to talk about hysteria, the belief that we are in a climate emergency and that humanity could go extinct because of climate change issues. And so we have to take dramatic action right now. I mean, that's crazy. I don't care how many scientists they have. It's like the same thing where they'll say, oh, the scientific consensus. Really? Go back and look at the projections for how much we would control the virus if we masked up back in, let's say, May of 2020. And then look at what happened, even though we masked up the rest of the year. And then you can tell me about how the scientific consensus cannot be questioned. It's appalling. It's absurd how wrong people have been. But there are folks out there who really believe that. And if it's about saving humanity from climate change, what is not permissible? You know, I think it's Dostoevsky, one of his characters. If God is dead, anything is permissible. If climate change will kill all of us, isn't anything permissible to stop it? That's the future we're heading toward with this Democrat left party. They keep pointing out, oh, look at all the crazy people on the right. Mainstream Democrat talking points are bonkers.
This is the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Follow Buck on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
What do you do about people who are in the government who don't believe in our way of government?
It is so shocking. Not only are they not conceding, Bill, but there's thoughts that there might have been some collusion among members of Congress. Some are refusing to go through magnometers or whatever you call them to check for weapons. They're not wearing masks during the siege. I mean, it's really bizarre, isn't it, when you think about how AWOL so many of these members of Congress have gotten. But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents, and they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Katie Couric, somebody that you hopefully haven't had to hear from in a long time, because who gives a crap what Katie Couric thinks about anything? But notice that the way that the just sneering condescension about people being fed all this stuff on the internet. The mainstream, the corporate media, of which Katie Couric was, in sort of a baffling fashion, a centerpiece for a while, based on nothing. I mean, the right corporate executives liking her. They forwarded a narrative of Russia collusion for years. They were lying about Russia collusion for years. The president of the United States was a Russian asset, a Manchurian candidate for the Kremlin. That was mainstream night after night after night after night. And they think that that didn't affect the overall political climate and trust in this country. They think that that didn't play a role in helping perhaps to radicalize some people on the right who say they're going to say this about Trump. I'm going to say some crazy stuff about them, or I'm going to believe crazy stuff about them. So this belief that they're forwarding, that this is only somehow a conservative issue, I mean, this is just. It is the greatest campaign of gaslighting I've ever seen in my life. It is the most massive gaslighting imaginable. And they're going with it. And it's not just because they like to say nasty stuff about us. They're going to leverage this. This is all the preamble. This is the preview, if you will, of what's going to happen when they're going to increase. They're going to increase the pressure from the government that they're going to control on all Trump's supporters. Here's a Democrat talking about what the FBI needs to do. Play seven.
Well, the recriminations are flying, Joe. I mean, you've got the Capitol Police saying they wanted some support, but those were denied by the Sergeant at Arms offices. You've got the National Guard folks saying they offered to support the January 6th events and the Capitol Police denied it. But I think the reality is that what you're seeing, all this activity by the FBI, by law enforcement to go after and arrest people, that's all great, but that's all right of the boom. And in intelligence, you really want to be left of the boom. You want to be way out ahead of the events. And I think we're going to have to reset our entire intelligence approach to these white supremacist militias, these dangerous ultra-nationalist organizations. I think we're going to have to look at a greater surveillance of them. The FBI is going to have to run confidential sources. We're going to have to penetrate these plots long before they present a violent threat to our democracy if we want to have any hope of stopping these in the future.
Mass surveillance of Americans based on political ideology. Treating the far right in this country as a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda, as something that could fracture the country at any moment. That guy was chief of staff at the CIA and the Department of Defense under Barack Obama. So this guy is a super swamp creature. And he's saying, oh, yeah, let's use the intelligence apparatus now. Let's use the FBI and whatever surveillance capacities that we can to monitor Americans. Oh, yeah. You think that's going to be applied fairly? They got a FISA warrant on Carter Page, for God's sakes. You think that they're going to use this judiciously? No, it's just all one big excuse, one big open door to abusing their authority for reprisals against their perceived political enemies, and even more importantly, for the massive chilling effect that it has on any opposition to the Biden agenda. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they hope to accomplish with this.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Buck's First Thoughts, the news you need to get through your day in 45 minutes. Make sure you subscribe on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our friend John Cardillo is going to shed some wisdom on all the things happening right now in America. He is formerly of the NYPD, conservative commentator, TV host, and man about town. Mr. Cardillo, good to have you back.
Always good to be with you, Buck.
What do you make of vetting National Guard for pro-Trump sympathies in an environment where D.C. does start to look now like the outskirts of the Green Zone in Baghdad, something I'm familiar with, and where we're being told that there's an insider threat based on what, I'd like to know, but what do you make of all this?
It's theater of the absurd, right? I mean, look, first of all, it's an insult to our troops. I would imagine many of those National Guardsmen, National Guardswomen have been deployed. They've served this nation. They've put their lives at risk. And to have the Democrats insinuate that they would pose a physical threat to an incoming president of the United States is disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. And now there's some more imagery that all of them, there's around 25,000 of them, were sworn in by the chief court marshal of the district court. I believe it's the court marshal. The U.S. Marshal Service put this out on their Twitter, their official Twitter account. So we know what happened. So essentially what's happening is now the U.S. Marshal Service is deputizing these 25,000 National Guards troops to be what's really going to come down to be security guards. Why? Well, there's really no reason, right? It gives them federal law enforcement powers of arrest in a very limited scope. But I believe what's really happening here is what I said earlier, theater of the absurd. This is to paint everyone on the right, anybody that's not an unwavering Joe Biden supporter, an unwavering Democrat, as a potential domestic terrorist, and to imply that we, me, you, everybody else on the right are so dangerous. We pose such a threat to the DC elites that National Guard troops have to be federally deputized as law enforcement. This is disgusting, Buck, but I'm going to call out who needs to be called out here. Shame on Donald Trump and shame on his United States Marshal Service for doing this. Because right now, as we sit here, Donald Trump is still the commander in chief. He can order those troops out. It looks like the Green Zone in Baghdad. It looks like East Berlin, 1971. It is disgusting that the capital of the beacon of freedom around the world, the United States of America, looks like that. Donald Trump is in control of all this, of the military and of federal law enforcement. He can put an end to it. And I'm sorry, but he needs to be called out. He's allowing his supporters to be painted as reprehensible domestic terrorists, which they are not.
And John, they're openly saying on national cable news channels and major left-wing news sites that conservatives or Trump voters are now a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda after 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the rhetoric that's being used. I think people need to understand this. This is crazy, but I think a lot of Democrats believe this. They believe, John, that Trump was a Russian asset for Vladimir Putin. They can believe and will believe anything that they're told.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. Most Democrats, if not all Democrats, believe it, Buck, with an exception of a few. I have a couple of good friends who live in New York City who are Democrats who actually voted for Trump because they realize how bizarrely insane and out of touch their party is. But more disturbingly, the establishment Republicans believe this. Too many establishment Republicans. I don't like the rhetoric coming out of guys like Ben Sasse and the Liz Cheney, for example. She's the leader of the House Republican. Give me a break with this nonsense. Too many Republican, establishment Republicans who love Democrats. They love the power Democrats wield and that Democrats show them how to be a DC elite and hold power. Too many of them believe it. But you know the bigger problem here, Buck? We need a sea change in the Republican Party. We need real America First people, hardcore conservatives. Because when Democrats get power, you and I have spoken about this many times on and off air. When Democrats get power, they know how to weaponize it, how to actionize it, how to consolidate it, and how to hold on to it. When Republicans get power, they talk about 2% tax cuts that never materialize and admonish other Republicans for being mean to Democrats. Something needs to change or this nation is doomed.
What do you think? And we're speaking to John Cardillo, formerly of the NYPD, conservative commentator, TV and radio host. John, what does Trump do now? I mean, I know he's leaving office, but I mean, what is the future for him?
Well, look, I think he's going to inevitably start a PAC, right? I mean, it'd be crazy if he didn't. He's going to raise a lot of money, even if it's small dollar donations, because there are still tens of millions of Americans who rightfully believe, I think, that the election was... Look, let me say this, because I've never been a conspiratorial guy. It's not one mathematical metric that says Biden shouldn't have won. It's 10 or 15 of them. Everything from Trump picking up more votes to Biden winning more votes than Obama ever did, to the inexplicable inaction from Georgia officials, Michigan officials, Pennsylvania Republicans, Wisconsin Republicans, too many coincidences. So a lot of people don't believe Joe Biden was legitimately elected. And I don't think we can make the determination whether he was or not because everyone refused investigations and audits. So you got a lot of people that I think will be willing to give $5, $10, $50, $100 to a PAC run by Trump if the messaging is done right. We're going to make sure there's never election fraud again. We're going to pick real America First candidates. Now, will they do that? That deserves to be seen, but or remains to be seen. But I think that's, if I were going to bet, I'd say that's the next move.
You think Republicans or at least enough Republicans will go along with this post-presidency impeachment and the barring of Trump from running for future office?
I mean, if they want to keep their seats, they won't, because I can tell you they're going to face some really tough and very well-funded primary competition. I've spoken to very high net worth donors down here in Florida, nine-figure net worth families in some cases, who are done. They will never give another penny to the RNC, to the NRSC, to the NRCC, those congressional fundraising committees. I think if Republicans in the Senate vote for removal after Trump's out of office, I think it's going to be a bad, bad day for the establishment GOP.
And what do you see happening now that we've got a Biden-Harris administration coming in here in a few days? Are your expectations for a far left policy onslaught, or you think that they're just going to kind of do the minimum for a while and see what it's like?
Nah, it's worse than I thought, Buck. I'll tell you why. I mean, look, I thought Biden was going to be relatively centrist. I thought he and Harris were easily buyable by the corporatists. But look what he did today. I mean, they dropped the announcement from his camp. His order of the first order of business on day one, or one of the first, is going to be to cancel not just the Keystone XL pipeline permits crushing Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, but he's also canceling the cross-border permits. So he's crushing the Canadian job market. He's going to kill jobs in Canada as well as in the U.S. I mean, the premier of Alberta, Canada, is out there on Twitter today begging Biden to rethink this. It's going to cost so many jobs. So Biden, on his first day, is going to kill not only American but Canadian jobs. I think we're going even further left than any of us thought.
Yeah, Keystone XL is fascinating, too, because it's just a question of where the oil is going to go and who's going to use it and who's going to benefit from it. In the end, all the analysis shows that by stopping it, you don't actually stop the extraction over the long term.
No,
so,
nothing.
So this is a complete
kill job.
It's pointless, yeah, except as essentially climate virtue signaling.
That's all it is. That's all it is. This is just virtue signaling to the climate lobby. But in reality, in fact, you're seeing accounts on Twitter and some Facebook pages of people who are predominant leftists saying to Biden, they call them First Nations people in Canada. We call them Native Americans here. Many of these people were poor in Canada. They don't have the casino revenue that those tribes brought in the U.S. The pipeline gave them jobs. It changed their lives. They're going to suffer the most. So all this liberal leftist virtue signaling about caring about minority populations went out the window to appease, by the way, and think about who pushes climate nonsense the most. It's the wealthy white liberals in Hollywood, New York, and D.C. So, I mean, in practice, look, we can do this all day, right? Murder numbers are up in Chicago, New York, D.C., and Los Angeles, off the charts, in primarily black communities. Why? Defund the police. War on police. The police are bad. Abolish the police. Black lives don't matter to Democrats in those scenarios because it's not affluent white guys being shot and killed by each other. It's young male blacks to a disproportionate degree. The hypocrisy from the left, you can tell I'm just fired up. The hypocrisy from the left is glaring, and I just can't believe our country is going down this path.
John Cardillo with us now, formerly of the NYPD, and now a conservative commentator and a man who knows a lot about what's going on, you know, in front of eyes and behind closed doors with the GOP, too. John, to that end, what do we do now? What do you think happens? I mean, I'm trying to come up with the, honestly, I just hadn't really made a psychological switch to a world in which we would lose the Senate as well. So mm-hmm. I thought that there would be a break on the Democrats' ambitions here. It seems like we're really just going to end up relying on some Democrats not having the stomach to go forward with what their own party wants. Other than that, what do you see? What is the resistance here?
Well, step one is you got to move to Florida and we got to hit a bar with a lot of wine and martinis and
there
figure
we
this
go.
Out. But now, look, I think America's resilient. OK, I don't think this kills America. I think it sets it back. But I think we on the right, people like you and I that have a voice, that have a little bit of influence, the people we socialize with, both professionally and personally from our world, we need to get very, very serious. I mean, critically serious about finding, vetting, promoting, and helping get funded good candidates. Candidates that aren't going to get to D.C., that aren't going to be wooed and impressed with the power, who are actually going to go there to reestablish constitutional values, to reestablish liberty, and to serve the constituents who put them into office. And if we don't get serious about that, then we may very well lose this nation because we're going to get lost in the woods. I think we could find our way out. But if we don't want to die in a barren wilderness, we've got to get very, very serious about the next generation of conservative candidates.
Do you see anybody who...
And very serious about voter fraud.
Do you see anybody who's stepping up...
Very serious about voter fraud in the
monitoring. Anyone stepping up into leadership? Other, you know, put Trump aside for a moment. You brought up a PAC and you know, let's see if he even wants to run in 4 years. If he can, depending on what happens in the Senate, I'm not 100% convinced that Republicans aren't going to break down and vote to oust him from future office. Yeah. Who do you see stepping up? I mean, the left hate Cruz and Holly. So I feel like that's a good sign for Cruz and Holly.
You literally took the first two names out of my mouth. I was going to say, look, Cruz and Holly are already there. Right. But they're good. They're good barometers of what we want. And I would even say we want somebody a little meaner than them. We want somebody who's a little more hardcore. Now, look, One of the biggest mistakes we've always made, I said we've always made, but in the last few years, the 18 cycle and the 20 cycle is too many people on our side also went with fringe, kind of radical QAnon, conspiracy theorists, and tried to push them into office. Those people are unelectable. They're unfundable. We need the business leaders whose businesses were crushed. Maybe they were apolitical before all this started, Buck, but their businesses were crushed. They risked being able to feed their families. And now they believe wholeheartedly to their core in the free market, in conservative principles, and the principles of laissez-faire economics. We need those people. We need the people who watched their neighborhoods be destroyed by the BLM and Antifa riots, who understand that law enforcement isn't the enemy. What I think we need are pragmatic candidates, because one of the exercises I always like to do is give people two arguments, don't tell them who crafted them, and see where these people come down. And oftentimes you'll find common sense minded people fall down on the conservative side, even if they believe they were a liberal their whole life. If they don't know the source, the message isn't tainted by the messenger. And oftentimes they'll go that way. And I think these lockdowns and the riots and the unrest and the questions about election integrity, it's made people much more pragmatic than they were. So I think it's early to say who's going to emerge, but there's some pretty wealthy, very smart people out there that were affected. And I think we're going to see some decent candidates pop up in the next 6 months or so.
John Cardillo, everybody, go follow him on Twitter. Well, we're still allowed to be on Twitter if you can, and look for more coming from him. John, great to have you on.
Thanks, man. Good to see you, buddy.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.